Blog Talk Radio.
We always do, but we're doing it twofold tonight.
Ooh,
3K underscore here with Robbo, Seattle Rams underscore NFL. We're without our third ball and chain, Joey O'Coin, LA Rams, Rams, Rams. Couldn't make it tonight. What's up, Robbo?
We're missing the jerk. We're missing the placenta jerk.
I wouldn't say we're jerkless. We're just not.
We're definitely not jerkless.
Whereas,
but, you know, two out of three jerks is where this podcast rating is going to be tonight.
66% jerk strength. What's going on with you, man? Thursday night football. Are you watching any of this lovely contest of football?
You know, I really don't do the Thursday night football unless it's a team I really want to watch. I torture my wife with sports usually on the weekend. And so usually during the week, we'll sit and chill and hang out and do whatever. But unless it's a game I've got to see, I'm not tuning into Denver, Arizona. I listened on the way home, and it was 21-3 by the time I got home, and there was no need for me to even turn that thing on.
Yeah, there was no need for me to turn it on. I watched almost the whole thing. It was very bad. The Cardinals, the thing about them, they remind me a lot of the 2016 Rams in the sense that when you look at the team and you look at some of the talent and some of the capabilities that they have individually, you look at their performances, and especially in a game like this in the first half, and it's just a team that is not prepared to play. They wasted timeouts. They had some bad penalties. They injured the Broncos punt returner on a contact injury. Sounds like it might have been his ACL, but it's a knee injury, before he even got a chance to field the punt. And it was one of those. They had 17, obviously not all in this game, but they had a streak of 17 third down conversions in a row that they hadn't converted. It's not a bad team, and I used to say this about the last year of the Fisher Rams. They're not bad. Bad is when you try to do something and you fail. Like, you try to do this and, oh, you're not fast enough, you're not strong enough, you're not good enough. They're not even trying the things that you're supposed to fail at. They're just doing other stuff, and it's all wrong.
So is Steve Wilks the modern-day Jeff Fisher, or are they just away from being good?
Yeah, I don't know. I would say this. He's got Mike McCoy as his offensive coordinator. That needs to change soon. It sounds like it might.
But how do these dudes keep getting jobs?
I don't know. I don't. It goes back to the old Peter King line that when he tweeted at us, when was this, 2012, 2013, that the NFL is a meritocracy. And I get it. Peter King's as inside the NFL as anybody could be, but it's like, how could you possibly say that when we have clear evidence every year that it's absolutely not? There are guys, you know, Brian Schottenheimer keeps getting jobs, and I don't know why. I don't know.
Ken,
it's not on the,
put on the list. Ken Whisenhunt. Mike McCoy.
Is anybody going to be surprised when somebody takes a shot at Fisher in a year or two? It's probably going to happen.
Mike Smith was just fired. He'll have another job in a year or so. I mean, these guys nonstop.
So,
that's okay.
I don't know. It's one of those.
They won't be employed by anyone in Los Angeles anytime soon. I think
not the Rams.
The Rams and the Chargers both seem to be doing pretty well, and I don't think those guys will be getting jobs anytime soon. So that's good. Is Whisenhunt still in San? Who's the Chargers OC these days? He was there
the
for a while.
The Chargers.
Is that Whisenhunt?
I'm not sure. I thought it was what's his name from the Jets back in the day.
It is Ken Whisenhunt. So there you go.
Okay.
How do you like that?
Well, there you go. Things happen.
Yeah.
All right. You spoke about the idea of Los Angeles. Did you get a chance to read Joey's article or just see some of this nonsense going around yesterday with the NFL owners meeting where they started to discuss the viability of the Chargers in L.A.? Did you get a chance to read any of that?
As a matter of fact, every time I post anything on our TST Facebook page, I read the article just to make sure, you know, I know how to, you know, position it, whatever. And so I did read that article, and I read the news before that, but yeah, did you see the latest that came out? I think Florio had a little follow up to this, and you know, I don't care how bad the Chargers are going to do in LA and how much money they're going to lose, they're locked in for 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, where are they going to go?
I don't know. Well, and this is part of the problem. And what's strange is, I don't see this as being a Chargers problem, and I don't see it as being an LA problem. Like, Here's kind of the thing to me. I get it. They moved the Chargers, and there's not really a fan base that was there for them to start with. But would it have been any different besides the Raiders if they had moved any other team with the Rams to L.A.? Would any other team have done better than the Chargers are doing?
No. I think I tweeted something out yesterday when this story broke, and I think I said the Chargers were in a lose-lose when this deal went.
Sure.
If Carson had won and it had been the Chargers and the Raiders, they would still be playing second fiddle. The Raiders would be dominated and they would still be doing piss poor. They get tagged with the Rams, who have history as well. I mean, they were a lose-lose in this situation, and they got played. I think they played their hand in San Diego. They made their bed. They had the lie in it. No matter how it was going to work out between two teams in L.A., they were always going to be a distant second team.
Sure. And I do think, to a degree, there's some animosity from Rams fans who followed relocation closely and remember that the Chargers obviously tried to prevent the Rams from getting here.
Right.
But overall, what I think this really is, it's an NFL problem. I was reading a good article about ratings. I meant to write it up today. I'm going to try to get it done tomorrow, where the ratings look fine for the NFL. And what we talked about the last 2 years with ratings decline and boycotts because of Colin Kaepernick and the anthem protests and all this stuff, none of that's going on. The NFL is, once again, the viable product that it hoped it was. NBA ratings yesterday were down for the opener. We'll have to see how things look. LeBron's obviously not involved yet. He's going tonight for the Lakers, but we'll see what things go. In terms of the NBA, for their ratings coming out of week one. But for the NFL, things look really good. The problem is what the problem has been for the last 5 to 8 years is people under 40, and specifically people under 32. They're just not grabbing enough of that market compared to what they used to. And it's one of those things where when you think about A and you think about an unindoctrinated base that you have sold this product to, they've done a really, really, really bad job of selling football on the merits to LAF.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if you're looking at the young fan in Los Angeles, it's Lakers number one, Dodgers two, USC three, something like that.
And what was strange was the two things that they really sold hard with the Rams' return, especially if you go back and you look, Hard Knocks and All or Nothing. Number one, they sold the idea that the Rams were coming back to Los Angeles. Well, that's great for you and me. Guys
yeah,
who
yeah.
way too old and remember
I was
that.
I was a season ticket holder in 86. So, that's perfect for an old
master. You know who wasn't a season ticket holder in 86? Guys who weren't alive in 86.
Yes, exactly.
And that's who the NFL is trying to bring in. That's part of the whole reason they're doing the uniform redesign and why they didn't go to the throwbacks is they've got to sell a new version of the Rams to a new fan base. And you do that by creating a fan base. So that was weird. Then number two, the other thing that they tried to sell was the idea that the Rams were going to be this star power team coming in, that they had Todd Gurley and Aaron Donald and all this, and they came in and dropped a 4-12 season. And it wasn't necessarily that all the air got sucked out of the room, but it was one of those things where if you're only going to sell superstars and not the viability of your sport, then when another team comes in, everybody's going to go, Well, we got Phillippers and Melvin Gordon. Yeah, well, I'm starred out now because I've got the stars over here. Well, it's football. I mean, well, you never sold that part. That
right.
wasn't the sell job.
And then they came in with the ridiculous notion of we're going to fight for L.A. They're the ones who started
fight for L.A.
Fight for each other. Fight for Orange County is what you should be doing.
Fight for a tip. Fight for a hot dog. Fight for relevance. I do like the fight. Oh, you know what they need to do? They need to fight for fight on. They need to fight for fight with USC. They need to fight for fighting.
fight for fight on. That should be the strategy next year. I want to hit Dean Stephens.
Come on out to the game for fight on fight night.
Fight for fight on.
With Frank Danny White. Fight on fight night. It's so right. Week 7, Los Angeles Rams, San Francisco 49ers. We're going on the road. At the beginning of the season, this was going to be a spectacular game. It was week 7. It was the end of a 3-game road trip. It was going to be Sunday night football. It was us against Jimmy Crash Pile. It was going to be awesome. Now.
And they made some pretty good moves. Outside of Jimmy. They made some pretty decent. They picked
Jimmy
up
Fight Night.
Yeah, Jimmy. They had a pretty decent little offense coming back this year, right? They made some moves and. You're thinking, all right, this is gonna be a game, and then now it's like the fight for fight on.
What do you do if you're the 49ers? Without Jerick McKinnon, he got hurt in the preseason before the season even started. You lost Jimmy Fight Night. You're 1-5. You're about, what, two games away from just packing things up? Then maybe they're already there.
I mean, they're
what do you do? How do you play this game?
They are looking for an overall number one pick, right? I mean, you got them, you got the Raiders, yeah. You got the Cardinals. Who sure. else has got a one? The Colts. I mean, Bills. I mean, they're in a handful of teams looking to be, you know, drafted really, really high. So, I mean, I know you can't cave in this early in week 7, but at some point you've got to be thinking, all right, you know, at this point we need to start developing some of the guys we want to have for our next year. Keep them going, and you know, if they get the top pick, they don't need a quarterback, presumably.
Right.
You know, Bear is not going to be going to the 49ers. So you trade him. You try to flip him like the Rams did with Goff, and find someone to take all those picks. And I mean, that's kind of what they have to be doing at this point, because damn, I just don't get it. I don't know how you even sell this to the fans. I mean, they've been.
I don't know.
How do you sell it to that fan base? I just don't know how you do that. It's there's nothing to get excited about.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. Right now, Football Outsiders, the offense is ranked 25th, passing ranked 24th, running offense overall ranked 15th. On defense, still not good, ranked 26th, 26th in the pass, 11th in the run. So a little bit of strength in run offense and run defense, which doesn't fit 2018 NFL standards at all. What were you going to say? You had something you wanted to say, but it's one of those things where I'm with you. I don't know how you sell this for the next 2 months.
Would you just put George Kittle's face on every ticket? Matt Breida? I mean, just put those two guys out there as, you know, two guys who aren't hurt and are still pretty good, but everybody else is not. I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but, you know, I do believe in Shanahan. I think that guy, he's, you know, McVay, maybe McVay Jr., maybe not as good as Sean McVay, or maybe he is. He just hasn't had the weapons, and he doesn't have the roster. He's slowly building that thing. I think this is going to be I think the Rams 49ers rivalry is about to, you know, have a pretty good run. Maybe not this year, but over the next couple of years, I think that roster is starting to shape up, and I think we're going to be set up for a pretty fun time between these two teams, like the old days.
One thing that's interesting is, remember last year, the two games between these two teams were very, very, very interesting. Obviously, the 49ers were in a very different place, didn't have their quarterback when we started, and were coming out of, obviously, some really bad football. So week 3, Thursday night football, we go to San Francisco at 1-1, the new McVay Rams, kind of undefined. Remember, we had that blowout against Indianapolis to start the year and the loss to Washington in week 2. Week 3 was an absolutely phenomenal game. Finished 41-39, the Rams win. Maybe fortunate to get that offensive pass interference call late in the game that slowed down their drive, because they could have gone on and put points on the board to win the game at home. Week 17, obviously, we know the story there. The Jimmy Garoppolo-led Jimmy Trash Fortnite? I don't know what we're calling it now. Jimmy Carhopper.
Jimmy against
week 17.
Sean Mannion, right? It was
Sean Manahanian. Sat our starters, lost the game, but nobody cared because we had a playoff game coming. So interesting two games last year. It's going to be an interesting two games this year. They're not the headline games that we were hoping, but they're going to still be pretty funky.
Yeah, I don't I mean, it's a division game, right? It's a division game that you just kind of have to, you know, you can't overlook these guys. Look what they did against Green Bay last week. You know, they had a pretty close game. It should be fun. I don't know. I have my prediction that the Rams are going to win comfortable, but I still think it should be a pretty fun game.
Yeah. When we talk about who's getting the criticism, you got a three-headed beast here. You got Kyle Shanahan as the offensively minded head coach, offensive coordinator. You've got John Lynch as your general manager. I'm all jacked up on names today. And then Robert Saleh as your defensive coordinator. Right now, he's getting a lot of the criticism. It's going to be interesting to see if he's kind of the whipping boy here, because I don't know that that's necessarily fair overall, but he sees the guy to be taking on most of the criticism. They ran a poll over at Niners Nation. Will Saleh be the defensive coordinator for week 1 next year? 2/3, about 63%, said yes. 1/3 said no. that could be the interesting storyline for the 49ers as we go through the season and get ready to face them again on the back end, is whether or not Sal is able to hold on to his position, because you're going to start, especially if they keep losing games, somebody's going to have to get blamed for it. It's not going to be Kyle Shanahan.
No. I mean, if you, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. If you have a three and 13 season, 4-12, something like that, someone's going to take the fall, and it's not going to be Kyle Shanahan, and it's not going to be John Lynch. John Lynch is still too new. He's made enough splash moves where he can point to and say, you know, I made some moves. The guys got hurt, whatever. But it's definitely not Shanahan. So it's got to be like a DC or maybe a token offensive coordinator under Shanahan. So it's not right. Shanahan, but maybe it's another guy on his staff. There's someone will take a fall, but it's not going to be the big guys.
This feels a lot like the 2015 Rams, right? Where you weren't quite at the end of the Fisher era. The offense was broken. We tried it with Foles. We went to Keenum. Keenum gets a concussion late. Have to fire Frank Cignetti Jr. just because Fisher has to do something to try to hold on to the reins. That's what it kind of feels like the Niners are headed towards this year. And like you said, there's not a lot left to really work on because you're out of it and it's mid-October.
So you're saying Shanahan's going to interview offensive coordinators for about 3 months and then settle on his tight ends coach to run his offense? He's my number one choice all along.
Would you be surprised?
Yes, I would. In that instance, I would be surprised. I wasn't surprised with our past. No, it was very Fisher-esque. Maybe Dave McGinnis could come out and run that defense for him.
He would never leave Jeff Fisher's side. What are you looking at this game?
I'm looking at the health. That's what I think I'm looking at for this team. I think the Rams are just too talented. They should win this game. Richard Sherman is still showing himself to be pretty good, although he kind of cost them the game there that holding call.
Right.
But holding pass interference right at the end, whatever, he grabbed the hit. You know, that's how Richard Sherman plays. He got the benefit of the doubt in Seattle, where everyone held and fouled at every play and basically dared the NFL to throw a flag on every play, and they didn't. So he's not really changing his game a lot. He's a physical guy, and that's just what he does. But he's leading the league right now and holding receivers to something like some ridiculous number. It's like 0.14 yards per target or something. He's still showing himself to be pretty good. And with Cooper Kupp out, you know, we have a few chinks in armor. We still have Todd Gurley, whatever, but in that wide receiver room, it's Cooks and Woods and Jay Ray letting balls bounce off his face. So it's, there's a little wiggle room there, but this should be enough here for the Rams to get it done. I think on the plus side for the Niners is their running game has been pretty good under, you know, backup Matt Breida. Is how you say his name? He's got 430 yards and a handful of a couple touchdowns. But then George Kittle, we saw what tight ends could do to this defense. He's good.
He can play.
That guy.
Yeah.
That guy's a good player. And so maybe. Maybe he does a little something, but you still have C.J. Beathard. Yeah, you still have him out there. I just don't see a way the Rams are going to lose this game unless they turn the ball over or we have more injuries. That's so far turned on the story for me for 20. You know, as much as undefeated is great, right now injuries. The NFL's healthiest team in the last 2 years is suddenly mortal, and it seems like every week someone else is getting dinged up. It's Aqib Talib. It's Marcus Peters. It's Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp. That was Cooper Kupp. And then we saw, you know, Saffel go out for a little bit last week. He's going to play, but you know, they've starting to experience a little bit of wear and tear. And I'm not sure how many more big players. I mean, Greg Zuerlein was out, so I just don't know how many more players we can lose for small stretches. Thankfully, they've been injuries that haven't been. No, season ending like Atlanta, where they seem like they have an ACL tear every other week, but you're still testing your depth. Luckily, they've been able to sustain it and go through. Games might be close, but at the end of the day, a W is a W in the column, and you just move on. So, even with that, I just don't see how the Rams are going to lose this game. I could see the 49ers give them some trouble, maybe score some points. It's a division game; things should be closer than maybe they normally would be. But I just don't see how the Rams are going to lose this game. I just don't. What do you think?
Yeah, on the talent front.
You think they're going to talk this close?
No, this is the one where I didn't feel good about Seattle. I didn't feel good about Denver. I feel a lot better about this game. Part of it's the talent discrepancy. I also think it's one of those things where you've got a lot of reasons for the Rams to play some good football right now. They didn't look great against Denver. Had to lean into the offensive line, and Todd Gurley ends up having a spectacular day and really put some really good tape for himself out there. But this is the kind of game, not for like a Todd Gurley. This is the kind of game for one guy you mentioned, Josh Reynolds. And I'll throw another guy out there, Troy Hill. This is the kind of game where they come back, and Troy Hill can put the kind of game together that he did at the end of last year and even in the playoff game
to remind
people why he's the backup cornerback. This is the perfect game to be able to do that. Now, if that doesn't happen from either of them, then we got to start asking some real questions and start saying, okay, wait a second. You're talking about fourth year for Troy Hill. You're talking about third year or second year for Josh Reynolds. Second year, because he was with Cup, right?
Second year.
Mike Thomas and what's his name? Farrell Cooper were the third year guys. So the second year for Josh Reynolds, this is one of those things where you need to be coming along and figuring out, you know, what your NFL career is. Somebody like Samson Abukum too, where they've got these opportunities. The difference is Jay Reynolds, Troy Hill are kind of there only because I had to be careful with Troy. There was another first name I almost used there, Robbo. Inside joke. Where those guys are getting plugged in there for injuries and you expect some rotation guys to come back, things like that. Samson Abukum's given that opportunity to be a starter. And we've already had so many injuries on the edge when you look at, you know, Obanaya Okoronkwo coming back up the physically unable to perform list. He's finally back, might get some game time. We'll have to see how quickly, slowly they want to bring him in. But he's been unavailable all season. You had Carlos Thompson go out way before the preseason even started, training camp even started. Dominique Easley on injured reserve. Morgan Fox on injured reserve. So you had a lot of guys that might have been an option there that haven't really been an option. And so Samson Abukum's kind of been able to coast with that position under his wing because there wasn't a lot to work against. Look, I know it's crazy, and you can have clown noises going off in the background, and who knows what hell's breaking loose. This is the Rams defense. This is Samson Abukum's job to lose, man. Gotta be Gracie. I love it.
Oh, my God.
Get her on here.
So, true story. My wife, my dog loves toys. Just loves them. She loves anything that squeaks. She's a 85-pound pit bull, so usually if she bites into it two or three times, the squeak is broken and done. So my wife tells me that she bought the dog a new toy tonight, and she brought it home, and it's this giant thing with a squeak in the middle of it, and my dog has not broken the squeak on it. I told her, you know, we're doing the pod tonight. I can't have that thing going off. And what's she
doing? I love it.
She's just going to town on it right now.
Perfect. You mentioned Troy Hill. Gracie goes crazy. it's an interesting game for the Rams. It's the end of the three-game road wing. They've, to my knowledge, to my opinion, I guess, survived the first two tougher tests to win. 2-point win against Seahawks, 3-point win against Denver. They got this one. They'll get through it. Then they get to come home against a Green Bay Packers side. That's going to be a great game. Travel to the Saints. It's setting up nicely to finally get to the bye, because then you got the Seahawks at home and then Mexico City against the Kansas City Chiefs, which is up there for maybe game of the year in the entire NFL. Things are going really well, and they're managing the schedule well.
And I think we did our staff prediction back before week one, and I had the Rams going 14-2 with two losses. I kind of did the back-to-back losses. We got a little panic bill going on as with Green Bay and the Saints before the season started. I thought this could be a little point where they trip up. You're 7 weeks into the season, 8 weeks into the season, so guys are getting injured and whatever. It's before the bye, so I just, all right, there's a place where they're going to fall. Maybe this is the part. This is the window here. They might stumble their toe. Going to New Orleans is not going to be easy, and you never know what's up with Aaron Rodgers. But if you watch that Monday Night Football game, are you sweating the Packers right now? I mean,
well, here's
the
thing: is the Rams, you're not really sweating anybody, are you?
No, not I. They could go 16-0, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I just don't see this team. I don't see an obvious game where I'm like, well, I'm worried about that one. Mexico City, probably their toughest game, because that Chiefs team is pretty darn good. And I maybe it's just because I really like watching them play. But they're clones of the Rams, right? That offense is almost unstoppable, and their defense is a little suspect. I think the Rams will probably have a little better defense, but that Chiefs team has got pieces that are going to give the Rams fits. Kelsey, tight end, is going to be a tough matchup for whoever they put on him. Mark Barron, Littleton, John Johnson. I think you're going to have to bracket that guy. But then you've got Tyreek Hill running past people when, Brendan Lloyd's – Brendan Lloyd, listen to me. It wasn't Brandon Lloyd.
We're having name issues tonight. What is going on, man? I blame you. Blood Moon.
It was Emmanuel Sanders running past Troy Hill like he was standing still. And the week before, you know, it's Tyler Lockett and Moore running past Marcus right. Peters. So that's going to be a team that is going to give them some fits. But that's we're a couple weeks away from that. That's cool. The Saints give up yards and at will. The Packers are giving up yards at will. So we have some good quarterbacks coming up. But all three of these defenses, I could see Jared Goff throwing for 500 yards against. I mean, just like the Vikings game, I could see a duplicate of that where he just, you know, he just shreds them because he's that good and that offense is that good. So yeah, I'm not really sweating any of these guys, but I can see shootouts and, you know, panic with Rams yeah. fans about, you know, defense being suspect. But maybe, you know what, maybe we just have to go out and outscore teams. It's not, I think, what, 23 points was one of the lowest outputs for the lowest output in the Sean McVay era in a win was 23 points last week. And that easily could have been over 30. They stalled in the red zone twice. You know, they missed another field goal. So I just don't see this team. I just don't see this team letting up. I really don't. And that's could be the homer in me. And I'm usually the glass is half empty kind of guy. But damn, this team is fun to watch. And that coaching staff, even when I question their commitment to the run early in the game last week, they just find a way to get it done. They just put the hammer down and just go. So, yeah, this game this week, I hope they're not looking at the tough point of the schedule. I mean, I'm always waiting for the trap. It's a trap. We always want to talk about trap games. This could be a trap game with that tough part of the schedule coming up, but I just don't think this coaching staff is going to let them do that.
Yeah. I think what's interesting, one thing, I got to give a shout out to there's not many of them. Most of them are just in the comments on the site. There's still a couple of people holding on to hashtag too negative. That takes commitment, man. That takes commitment when you're here calling 14-2 and I'm 12-4 and we're both talking about the Super Bowl and the preseason. It takes a loyalty that's pretty special to hang on to two negative.
It takes a village to hang on to two negative.
It does. It's beautiful. We did the game by game predictions, and I predicted a Broncos win, and you know, just like Joey's bold predictions a couple weeks ago, created a mini furor on this. It was a beautiful thing to see, just pitchforks and torches.
That's been is that a new thing with Rams? Not that we're too negative, no. But the whole idea of that if you don't believe that they're going to win every game that they play, that you are not a real fan. I got that thrown to me today on Twitter by some guy. I put out a stat yesterday about what the Rams' first six opponents' record was, as opposed to what they're about to face over the next seven or eight or so. You know, it's not a huge disparity, but you know they've had an easier schedule than what they're about to face.
How dare you say that, Rob?
And some guy, I mean, I had people coming at me like, "You're not a real fan. How could you say that? Why are you Debbie Downer?" I'm just stating the records of who they played and who they're about to play. I didn't say that they were going to lose. I'm just like, all right, hey, hope you enjoyed the first six. Now it's going to get tough, and this is the schedule coming up. And you're not a real fan, and how dare you? And it's like, it's living in the Facebook comments. I just sometimes it's like, why in the hell am I doing this? What am I doing this for? Because I love it. That's why.
Do you know what the Green Bay Packers record is?
They are.
It's 0-0. They don't have a record. They're playing the Rams. They don't get a record. Nobody gets a record until they play the Rams. That's how it works.
Look at how many teams we have ties this year. So they have a tie, right? 3-2-1 against 6-0.
Yeah.
No worries.
No,
that Rodgers guy is overrated.
I'm not sweating anybody. I said it. Well, where were we when I said it? Maybe two thirds of the way through the season last year, where the Rams can beat any team in the NFL, and they proved that last year. And I think, but they've clearly proven it this year. So I don't think I'm sweating it. In the idea of worried about losing, I think I'm cognizant of the fact they could lose any game. They could have lost any of the last four. And that's what a good team does. A good team marshals wins either A, against good teams, or B, when they're not having their best game, which was clearly the case against Denver. That's okay.
Right. I mean, they've had 22 regular season games under Sean McVay. They've lost one on the road, one away from Los Angeles. That's, you know, they've lost a couple of LA, but you know, that's just how it is. He has them prepared, and I'm not sweating. I mean, if you win that many road games in this league, you're good. Stop worrying about it. And stop
crying.
We're
just very, 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 very good at football, and people need to deal with it. Going to be interesting. That'll be Sunday in the late games, obviously flexed away from Sunday night football. So if you had primetime plans, and for those people,
NFL hates us. They flexed us out of the game.
To
NFL
San
hates
Francisco.
Us.
Sorry, guys. Pulled away from us.
NFL hates us. They flexed us out. I don't know why.
Hatred, hatred. Hatred for LA. Fight for LA. Fight for fight night. Fight on, fighters. College. We don't have Joey tonight. We can start wrapping this up. We'll keep it short. Did you watch any college football this weekend?
Well, I watched part of a game. The one that matters most in my heart. And I actually wasn't watching it, but I turned it on when I saw we were sticking it to Cal. And had to watch my Bruins finally figure it out. But that's all the college football I watched. It was Saturday. I was up doing that Oktoberfest thing I told you about. So I wasn't around to watch football. So I was out drinking beer and acting like an idiot and having a good time and not watching college football.
That's a good life you lead. You can lead another good life this weekend. Not the greatest of slates. A very, very October slate. You start early. Just way too early. Michigan State. Why did
shouldn't
they play
game
this
be,
game?
Shouldn't that game be
it's
in November?
This is the most librarian game of the 2018 season. This is the game that is filed away alphabetically based on the third letter in each sentence. It's one of those games that's all technicalities and details. Like, you know what this game will be? This game will be, like, if you're the game clock operator, this will be the best game ever game clock operated in the history. Like, the clock will stop exactly when it's supposed to, and people will just nod and be like, Westenberg, thank you for your service. It has been my pleasure to stop the clock at 12:04 in the second quarter exactly.
When you host Michigan in East Lansing, you will have precision on the clock.
How many people will say good sir throughout this game? Good sir.
Good sir.
I hesitate to demur, but I would like to question the most recent call on your behalf suggesting that one of our Michigan Wolverines, one of our good Michigan men, did in fact use his hands in an illegal manner. I would suggest, however, may it please the audience among us, that his hands were in fact used in a legal fashion, albeit unconventional, albeit perhaps unwise. But to go and say illegal, sir, we must have decorum on this fine day. Libraries are open. Libraries are open all across the United States. Children are watching. Please, sir, I beg of you. Class. Thank you.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I have a really good friend here who is a big Michigan person, grew up in Detroit, lives and breathes Michigan football. And that man has the foulest mouth when it comes to two games a year, Michigan State and Ohio State. There is no decorum there. It is every other word starts with an F or a Y.
Foolhardy. I say foolhardy. Excuse my language.
Oh, man. He hates himself some Sparty, and he hates himself the OSU Buckeyes.
Foolhardy Sparty. Sir, I say poppycock unto you. Yes, I will
sir,
say such thing.
Good sir.
Good sir,
is
tell me
those,
saying good sir.
Do you have a Grey Poupon game? Is that what this is kind of? Pardon me. Do you have any Grey Poupon?
How many cheese boards get served in the tailgate?
So this is a Brandon Bate game. I mean, this is
like an old monocle. Excuse me, is that Gouda with unripened figs? Take this away.
What do I picture like the Monopoly guy? Monocle,
yeah.
Top hat, coattails.
I recognize this is but football, but I still have standards. Please, please, good sir, remove this from my tailgate, they definitely say that. Oklahoma TCU is early. That's going to be the opposite. Oklahoma TCU, somebody's carrying a beer into the stadium in their underwear. Auburn Ole Miss, that could be fun early on, if only because both of them are the crying Jordans of football right now. Auburn started the season in the top 10, three losses, and they're already out. Ole Miss,
big upset of Washington, first game of the year.
Yeah, and we're riding towards, considering playoff spots, but losses the last 2 weeks, Mississippi State, Tennessee. Oh, and they still have Texas A&M, Georgia, and Alabama on the schedule. Good luck, Gus Malzahn. Ole Miss, on the other hand, is 1-2 in the conference, trying to figure out how many crimes they committed under the last administration. Fun times for Ole Miss. You get to the afternoon slate. This is where you can sit with friends and actually watch some football. North Carolina State, Clemson, Colorado, Washington. Colorado obviously lost
last
week.
The NC State Clemson game is of note to you because of one reporter's take on a sentence, right? And then you dropped me a note today about someone getting hit
you
more than he wants
you
to.
You can't
hit.
Tackle anymore. You're not allowed to tackle people in football. It makes me sad.
We're going to hit the quarterback more than he wants to be hit. Foul!
How dare you? How dare you say you're going to hit the quarterback? You sick. Good sir. Good sir.
Good sir.
Michigan fans just turned up out of nowhere. Did you, in fact, incite violence against one quarterback?
How dare you say you're going to put my quarterback on his keister?
Yeah, for people who didn't see, this is a piece at Clemson Insider. When we talked about the Brandon Cooks hit a couple of weeks ago, what I talked about wasn't necessarily the idea of was it a penalty or not. I didn't think it was. The refs didn't throw a flag. He didn't get fined for it. I think it's fine. The problem is that our instincts are changing quite clearly as football fans. And as I get older and join Rob in the club of people who have children that worry us less and less because they're old enough to fend for themselves, I find that some of those children across the rest of the United States are interpreting football in a very new way, and it makes me sad, Rob.
It's no longer football. It's not the football.
You can't say that you're going to hit the – you can't say that you're going to try to knock the quarterback down?
Not allowed to say you're going to hit the quarterback. That's not sporting.
Good sir. I don't even know
the head coach. The head coach cannot say that he's going to pressure the other team's quarterback and put him on his backside more than he would like to be, because
you know what
reporters
I will enjoy?
Take offense to that.
What I will enjoy is once we get over this hump, the next hump of like the ultra sensitivity, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. Like is Sean McVay allowed to acknowledge that the other team has a quarterback, or by doing so, does he immediately target him for unfair physical attention? Perhaps Sean McVay shouldn't be able to even say his name, shouldn't be able to acknowledge that he even exists.
Don't even, no numbers. You know, we're going to put 9 on his back. No, don't say it. No.
Can't say that Aaron Donald hit players. He plays defense. He contributes to his team. But hits are violence. Aaron Donald's not a violent man. He's a sports player, an athlete. Absolutely no hit.
He's a gentleman.
He's a gentleman. He's a footballing gentleman, is what you would say. He's more about helping people up than knocking them down, if we're being honest about it.
I mean, that at the end of the day, that's true. All we're doing is providing opportunities for you to get put back on your feet again.
You know how many snaps
the defense,
how many times has an offense been able to snap the ball against the Rams defense? 100% of their possessions. Every possession they have, they're allowed to snap the ball without any perturbance. Ah, gentlemanly indeed. Into some of the more fun stuff in the afternoon, Mississippi State at LSU. That's a game that Rams fans need to watch. You got Montez Sweat, the edge defender for the Bulldogs, Devin White for LSU. Both could be late first round options. I got to get some mocks on the site, Ravo. I haven't gotten any mocks on the site in a long time.
Do not.
Ooh, we got to get some names going. Get it juicy.
Who from UCF will be drafted in the NFL? They're a 10th in the nation right now, UCF again.
Yeah, no, they got
some
talent.
They're not going
away. They got Adrian Killens, the running back. He's interesting. Gabriel Davis, wide receiver. They do have a cornerback that I like. I forget his name. Huh?
Mackenzie Milton's
okay. He can play. Size could be an issue. Skill could be an issue. But, you know, look, it's the NFL, who knows? Maybe a McVay can figure out how to make somebody like that work in their system. He could be a perfect system QB. He could be perfect.
Look at you. So, good sir. Do not mention system QBs on this pod. That's just not sporting.
Recognize that you're not able to envisionize such that I'm presenting you, but a doff of my cap is presented your way. Indeed. Number 12, Oregon, at number 25, Washington State. That's your boy, Justin Herbert, I guess Joey's boy. Whose boy is it? Who gets to claim Herbert? It's Joey, right?
Herbert's Joey, yeah. That is that's the NFL, what are they called, the NFL, or the college football kickoff crew with Herb Street.
College Game Day?
Yeah.
College Game Day, going to Pullman for the first time.
Going to Pullman? That should be fun because...
That should be great.
No, I will not be traveling to Spokane to watch... College game day with a bunch of hammered 18-year-olds. Washington, if you've never been, Been to Pullman, where Washington State is. It's just southeast, about 25 miles of Spokane, Washington. A beautiful city, might I say. It is the typical. Yeah, when it's dark, it is the typical. It's the typical college town in the middle of nowhere, where you just go there to drink and have a great time. It's got like one bar called the Coug. It's just, I mean, the stadium's cool. Martin Stadium's tiny, but it's a fun, kind of great atmosphere. But there's nothing to do out there but drink and have a good time. And they will be doing that early and often for game day. So I'm looking forward. People will, it's like the roast, but you will not go to sleep. You'll stay up all night Friday, drink and have a great time. And they're going to go there just sauced and being loud and having a good time. It should be fun.
That's the problem. It's just like LSU games at night. Washington State has that same kind of environment where when the game's at night, you give people just enough time to get destroyed during the day, go to sleep, recuperate, wake up, and still have enough time to tailgate before the game. ESPN obviously knows what it's doing. I did mention the idea of Oklahoma TCU, where people will be sneaking beers in their underwear into the game. It's going to be the opposite here. People are going to be drinking their underwear and wearing their beers. I don't know how that works, but they'll find a way to make it true.
When you have the guy with the beer hat, you're going to have some guys like Fruit of the Looms, and out of the top will be poking out two beers with straws coming down to his head.
Washington State's in full place. USC Utah, another late game. God, we're getting so much Joey talk. And hey, let's throw Arizona at UCLA. That's going to be interesting. That'll be on ESPN too. I think the problem for Arizona UCLA, you don't have a lot of NFL talent. There's a lot of interesting talent there, especially among the two younger classes. They need time to develop.
You
Khalil Tate, the quarterback.
Not a lot of talent.
Well, that's true too. But you don't know. You got a lot of young guys. They could look a whole lot different in a year, 2 years. Let
I'm
Chip
hoping.
Kelly work on them. Who knows?
I will.
We'll have to see. Obviously, to this point, hasn't been great, but you're coming off a win. Let's see. USC game is interesting because it's at Utah. That one's going to be on the Pac-12 network, whereas Arizona-UCLA is on ESPN2. That closes it out. It's not the greatest schedule, but I tell you right now, great schedules are coming. So this is another good weekend to do. What did you say you were doing last weekend? All that stuff that you threw in there that sounded great, do that again.
Yeah. Oktoberfest. Just go drink and have a good time and act like an idiot. Just like pretend you're at the Washington State football game this weekend and just have a good time. Just, whatever.
That.
Just go.
In public. Yeah, because it'll be fun next a week from now. You got some really strange games. You get the Clemson-Florida State game, which would have been a barn burner. You get Florida-Georgia, Kansas State-Oklahoma, Iowa-Penn State, both ranked right now, Kentucky-Missouri, which has a bunch of NFL talent, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Texas-Oklahoma State at night, Notre Dame at Navy. Juice me up. Robbo. 49ers, man. It was supposed to be our big week. They kind
it was
of ruined
gonna be...
it.
Well, I mean, I blame Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy, I solely blame that guy and his contract. It's his fault that we are flexed out and that his idiocy cost us a primetime game. He should have stepped out of bounds. He wants to be a tough guy. Goes in, gets knocked out for the year. It's his fault, and Rams fans should hate him even more for it.
As if we needed more reasons not to like Jimmy Crop.
Good sir, why did you not go out of bounds? Well, you should have doffed your cap and taken the sideline. And
gentleman knows that yards over 8 are not to be had. Just step out of bounds and accept your lot.
There's always something.
Tell Gracie
what other pods you have dogs squeaking toys in the background? It's awesome.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
We can't have fun, we can't sing, and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the L.A. Rams.
Hollywood Hampton, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's going to get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Zeta, nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cooler, the quarterback mistreater. I come from the air, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put them on the back. This limousine witty, my moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special team. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc, and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it.
Yes, who have we here? Chester. Good to meet you. Grant Davidson, 86. Yes, I had season tickets to the Los Angeles Rams that year. No, didn't actually go to a game. I just held them in escrow as part of my comfortable assets, as the family calls them. Yes, we do. Sometimes we take the family plane, but oftentimes we'll take the boat out and look at the crest line and see if it's worth coming in for the game.
Yes, like any Michigan man does. Well, so your family, hello, Stephanie, as always, my best. And if you need to borrow my blinders, I would hate for you to get caught up in the violence of a game like this. It will be quite unsoldiering. I know. Young men sometimes can be swept up in emotions in a game like this. Of course, Michigan, and state, what with the world watching, what can one do?